And I overtrained. You know, I was too fit for what the elevation was going to give me, where I ended up having to walk so slow just because it was just like the elevation. And so there are times, you know, exactly what you're saying, that those rest days actually help us move forward faster, whether it's in our mindsets, in just feeling good about ourselves, or the actual kind of fitness side of it. And I think that people oftentimes wrap up so much of their ego into that achievement, where it becomes, I am a long distance runner. And that's great that that's part of your identity. But then if we have too much of our ego wrapped up into that, or our business, or whatever things we give ourselves, it's really hard for us to then step away from that and say, well, is this what's best for me today? Or should I take a break from that identity?
Hey, welcome back to the Ultramarathon Mindset Podcast, where we talk about what it takes to go the distance in running and in life. I'm your host, Eric Dieter. I'm an ultramarathon runner and a mindset coach. When trail runners get together to run a few miles, we never know where the conversation is going to go. So if you're ready, let's get started. Hey, welcome back. What do you think it'd be like if you would only had to work 4 days a week? You know, the first thing I thought of is that I'd have 3 days of getting in long runs. If the weather wasn't good for one day, I'd have a day to get stuff done and 2 days for long runs. My guest this week is one of a growing group of people who are talking about a four-day work week. Joe Sanek is a licensed therapist. He's a podcast host. He's a TEDx speaker, and he's the author of the new book called Thursday is the New Friday: How to Work Fewer Hours, Make More Money, and Spend Time Doing What You Want. You know, having an ultramarathon mindset isn't just about, you know, being tough, getting out there, hitting it hard. An ultramarathon mindset's about going the distance, having what it takes to know how to go the distance that you want to go. And in training and in races, knowing how and when to rest is an important strategy. And Joe shares information about rest that can be applied to both running and to life. And maybe it will inspire you to think about, you know, maybe what could you do with a four-day work week? Here's my conversation with Joe Sanek. Thank you, Joe, for being part of the podcast, and welcome to the show.
Eric, thank you so much for having me.
Hey, you know, you and I met at Podcast Movement and talked a little bit, and you are kind of involved in mindset work, and wanted to talk a little bit about your book, Thursday is the New Friday, which I think is kind of an intriguing title. But tell me, how did you get involved in working with mindset?
Yeah, so I'm trained as a psychologist and also as a licensed professional counselor. And so for a long time, I was working primarily with angry kids. And so I was working at runaway shelters and the foster care system, community mental health, often in kind of youth, the youth prison system, all sorts of things with kids that just had been set up for life in a really tough way. And then over time, I eventually had a job at a community college helping students there. And I had this side counseling practice that was starting to grow more and more, and I just kept kind of adding things to it. And I realized I had absolutely no business training and knew nothing about what I was doing in running a business. And so quickly had to learn what to do, because I just didn't learn any of that in grad school. And so just continued to kind of consume books about not just mindset, but also business practices and marketing. And, you know, for me, the whole business world has seemed pretty slimy. It's like, you know, you're selling people things they don't need and making them feel insecure so that they buy stuff. Mm-hmm. And that just wasn't me. But then I started to find all these great podcasters and business leaders and mindset coaches that really just had an authentic way of thinking about just how they approach their work. And for me, I just consumed that work to really figure out how to do this in a way that aligns with my own value set.
Yeah. And there's, you know, I was just talking to somebody today about sales, and we said, we all sell. Yeah. But if you can't benefit other people, you know, at least as much or more than you benefit yourself, you know, you're not really serving, and really sales is serving. And so, you know, if you try to you know, if you're trying to convince someone to come with you to a new restaurant that you're selling, you know, that's
absolutely
you're serving them by introducing them to some great food that, you know, a great place that, you know. So yeah, that is a great mindset shift. So what were some of the mindset things that you noticed in your early practice and I guess in other people, and how did it affect you as far as your drive and your journey?
Yeah, you know, I think it's interesting how sometimes in your career you have kind of an upward trajectory and everything stacks on top of each other, or other times it's sort of a return home. And for me, it's really been a return home. My freshman year orientation at college, I remember, you know, they sat us all down and we're supposed to make our classes for the fall. And, you know, I'm about to graduate high school and, you know, it's so that spring, getting the classes ready for the fall. And the academic advisor said, all right, go ahead and pick your classes. You know, here's the way we do it with the electives and, you know, ones that you have to take. And I raised my hand and I said, do I have to take classes on Friday? And she's like, no, you don't have to take classes on Friday. This is college. Do whatever you want. If you want to sleep in, you know, start at 10 or 11. If you want to have late night classes, we have ones that start at 7 p.m., like whatever you want. And it was, my mind was just utterly blown because, you know, you're going from high school where you're, you know, kind of a working schedule to this totally new way of thinking. So throughout all of undergrad and graduate school, I never had a class on Friday except for one class that was mandatory for graduation and it was only offered on Friday. And so then when I entered the work world, my first job, when they offered it to me, I said, well, you know, I have a couple stipulations, and one of them was a 4-day work week. And they said, sure, yeah, if you want to do it in 4 days, that's fine. And so for me, the idea of working 4 days and taking 3 days off was how I lived so much of my early career. And then, you know, I started to get full-time jobs and, you know, added my private practice and swayed away from that. But then when I left that full-time job in 2015 to do things completely on my own, I went back to that. I experimented that first summer and said, I'm going to take Fridays off again and just see how it goes. And so that whole mindset to your question of that we have to hustle and be part of hustle culture in order to achieve, I would say is completely false. That actually we do our best work when we slow down, when we're not burned out and stressed out. That's when we have the great ideas. That's when we're the most creative. That's when we're actually most productive based on the neuroscience. And so really learning that the way that we've been working, especially as entrepreneurs, oftentimes is not in our best creative or even financial interest.
So my podcast is kind of toward runners. And I listened to something that you said. I think a lot of runners, especially distance runners, I mean, I see this in a lot of the people that I talk to. They take the same drive and that same idea of I've got to train, you know, hard. I've got to train a lot, and they, you know, they make out a schedule that keeps them busy all the time for training, and a lot of times they'll end up being overtrained, and so it kind of applies to some things that I had found out for myself is. Slowing down, taking breaks, taking rest days, taking time off is actually beneficial physically.
Yeah.
You're saying mentally as well.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when I was training to go to Nepal, I was going to be hiking there for a 14-day excursion up to, you know, just under 20,000 feet. And I overtrained. You know, I was too fit for what the elevation was going to give me, where I ended up having to walk so slow just because it was just like the elevation. And so there are times, you know, exactly what you're saying, that those rest days actually help us move forward faster, whether it's in our mindsets, in just feeling good about ourselves, or the actual kind of fitness side of it. And I think that people oftentimes wrap up so much of their ego into that achievement, where it becomes, I am a long distance runner. And that's great that that's part of your identity. But then if we have too much of our ego wrapped up into that or our business or whatever things we give ourselves, it's really hard for us to then step away from that and say, well, is this what's best for me today? Or should I take a break from that identity? And so I think over time, we see that hopefully people mature and say, yes, this is something I do, something I enjoy, it fulfills me, and it isn't my entire identity either.
So what are some of the things, and I'm assuming that we're going to get to you know, kind of what you say in your book, what are some of the things people can do, I mean, if they, you know, to kind of change their mindset? And I know, I mean, a lot of runners I know have difficulty taking a rest day or recovering from an injury. Time recovery. In fact, a lot of them will go out and run even injured because, like you said, their identity is wrapped up. So I guess what's a mindset we can do to live healthier, you know, mentally and physically to if you're that kind of driven person, how do you help people change that?
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I'm an achiever type, you know, on the Enneagram, I'm a number three. And so I like, I get that. You know, the industrialists taught us that we are machines, that you plug it in, you set it and forget it. But the new mindset that's really emerging is more of an evolutionary mindset. And so I would say, instead of saying, here's the one way to always do things, to take an experimental model where you say, let me try a few different things and look at the results. Because what that does is it takes us out of our individual blinders of saying, here's the one way to do things. And there may be only one way to do something. You may discover that through taking, you know, doing some of these experiments. But if you start to experiment with different ways of doing things, with learning different modalities, that then exposes you to different ways of thinking. Because I imagine, you know, in the running world, there's lots of theories on, you know, how to best train. There's lots of theories on how to best build muscle and stamina and all of that. And so to do some experiments around those things and have the idea that if it doesn't work, that's not a failure. You know, top business people, top life mindset coaches are people that go into life saying it's not pass fail. This is an experiment where we're trying something. And if it doesn't work, we say we got great data to know what doesn't work here. And so starting to move into that, away from that pass fail mentality is a huge step for people to let go of that ego and to be able to really oftentimes discover brand new creative or different ways that's going to help them.
Yeah, and a lot of, you know, a lot of systems will, you know, are one size fits all. And so, you know, a lot of times, well, the school system kind of teaches that too. I mean, they kind of shoot, they kind of push everybody into this one size model, and kids don't necessarily learn that. But so we learn to kind of accept that model. And what you're saying, what I hear you saying is that that, you know, if it doesn't work for you, try something new.
Yeah. Well, you know, in 1926, Henry Ford, he gave us the 40-hour work week. And so less than 100 years ago. And before that, in the late 1800s, early 1900s, the average person was working 10 to 14 hours a day, 6 to 7 days a week. It was a farmer's schedule, whether or not you were a farmer. Mm-hmm. And so that was needed. That was a step forward. The industrialists gave us a mindset that was definitely good for humanity. And Henry Ford did it to sell more cars to Ford employees because he wanted people to be able to, on the weekend, he's like, people aren't going to buy a car to get to work faster, but if they have a weekend, they'll buy a car and they'll go, you know, scoot around town and see their friends and family and do fun things. And so even just the idea that this 40-hour work week is how it is, when we start to say, is it really? I mean, the pandemic really shifted that for so many of us to say, we thought there was this one way of doing things, this prescription model. That's the industrialist speaking. And when we name it industrialist and say there's one way of doing things, this diet works for everyone, this workout schedule works for everyone. Sure, we can say that there's parts of it that may work for me, but there also might be parts that don't. And so when we start to shift away from that prescription model and move more into an evolutionary model, what happens is we start to then be more and more intelligent as we go, where we try certain things, we see what works really well for us, and then we add new things, we subtract things. And over time, we start to get a smarter and smarter way of doing our training with running or in just living our life or our business.
Mm-hmm. So your book, Thursday is the New Friday. Let's talk a little bit about what are some of the things that you offer in your book. And for somebody who may be hearing this and is like, well, maybe I should check this out. What will they kind of experience with engaging with your book?
Yeah. So there's three main parts to the book. So the first part starts with your internal inclinations. We start on your insides, because if you don't get your mindset and the way that you're approaching life correctly, that's going to make it a lot harder to do the other work. You know, if you jump right into some productivity book and you don't even know who you are, like that's really difficult to then get the results that you want. Mm-hmm. The next part of the book is all about why slowing down actually helps us optimize our brain to then get to that third part, which is how do you kill it when it's time to go work? And so let's talk about that first part, the internal inclinations. So there's three internal inclinations that top performers have. The first is curiosity. The second is an outsider perspective. And the third is an ability to move on it. So that first one, curiosity, you know, we're often told curiosity killed the cat. Mm-hmm. And if we really like think about that, like if you're curious, you're going to die. Like that's ridiculous. Yeah, you know, like what the heck? Why would we ever keep saying that? And actually it was a headline in the early 1900s of the Washington Post. There was a cat that was stuck in a chimney. It made national news for 5 days. So slow news week. And then the front page said curiosity killed the cat. And then now we just say that without thinking.
I never knew the origin of that. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is. Like, I love finding these little tidbits. I was just like, where did that come from? But people that are curious, you know, they'll try new things. And if it's a failure, they'll say, well, this isn't a failure. Just like what I was just saying, they'll see it as data that they're getting. That second internal inclination is an outsider perspective. And we see this frequently, especially if someone takes on, say, a new job role somewhere. They come into an organization, they're learning all these systems, and then they say, why do they do it that way? That seems so inefficient. And they have this outsider perspective that actually is gold to that company if that company allows that to come in. There's actually a research study. It was a color study where they brought together 6 to 8 people, and they would show them the color blue or the color green. And they would say, what color is this? And people would say, that's green, that's blue. And you know, there's some in the middle where maybe people would say, that's more green to me. No, that's more blue. But for the most part, they would agree. And then the second part of the study, they brought in 2 different people that were working with the people from the study. And there were certain colors that they would say that's green when it was actually blue, or that's blue when that was actually green. And they found that statistically, these outsiders actually had more influence on the group than they should have had just from basic stats. And so we see these things over and over where if we can put ourselves in the position of being an outsider, of allowing ourselves to feel uncomfortable, of allowing ourselves to have new experiences, it actually helps us make connections in different areas of life that we wouldn't even expect. Mm-hmm. And then that third internal inclination is the ability to move on it. And so if we think about a typical spectrum, on one side we have speed, and on the other side we have accuracy. And there's times in life you want to be accurate. Like if I go into the hospital for surgery, I want my doctor, I want her to take as much time as she needs for me to have a quality surgery. But in life and business and in other things, oftentimes speed is going to give us so much more information than if we're just paralyzed by perfection. And the education system you talked about earlier reinforces this idea of being paralyzed by perfection. You know, you write a paper, you go to the writing center, you finally turn it in, and then you get a grade. Like that's been drilled into us that you don't turn something in or do work until it's perfect. But that's just not how the real world works. And so moving away from being paralyzed by perfection is one of those key mindset shifts for most people.
That's cool. Yeah. And you know, besides that, the education system teaches us to look for the right answer. I mean, you think about English is a little more subjective, but a lot of times in science or, a lot of the tests I took was like, they judge you on how many right answers did you get? And so we get that kind of conditioning as well.
Well, it's interesting when you really drill into where that came from. I mean, it goes back all the way to the way that the Greeks taught education. Whereas, if you look at how rabbis taught it, they had this idea of a remez, which is, that any verse in the Torah is like a jewel with 70 different sides that you can just view it from all these different perspectives. And that idea that we're going to take a subject matter and view it from so many different perspectives has sort of been lost in our kind of Anglo culture. And so by doing that, we often kind of pigeonhole ourselves into a corner where we say, here's the one answer. And then we die on that hill, whether or not it's actually the best answer.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Well, that's great. Tell us where can people, your book is coming out in October of 2021.
Yeah, October 5th.
October 5th. Okay. So will it be bookstores, Amazon? How will people
find it? Yeah, it's everywhere. So HarperCollins is doing a great job getting it out everywhere. My dad just discovered it on Target.com. And so it's fun to kind of find all the spots. Yeah. So wherever you buy your books, I'm sure your local bookstore would appreciate you ordering through them. We actually have a mastermind group starting in November, on the first Thursday in November, and it's going to be at noon Eastern. And anyone that buys 10 of the books gets access to that when they submit their receipt over at ThursdayIsTheNewFriday.com. And it's going to be an amazing mastermind group. We have a ton of podcasters that are a part of it, a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of mindset thinkers. And so you buy 10 of the books, you submit your receipt, and then we're going to be going deeper into the book of how do you practically apply it. We're going to be doing hot seats to really talk through how do you make the 4-day work week, but not just that, the lifestyle side of it and the mindset side of it a reality. And then lastly, we're going to be doing a lot of networking. My goal is that every single session you leave with 1 or 2 new people that you're like, I want to talk to them and see if we can collaborate on something. Because oftentimes I'm in these mastermind groups and there's all these amazing people, but they never get to meet each other. And so I want to make sure that people get to know each other. So we'll be meeting for 6 times. We're skipping Thanksgiving. If they buy the book Thursday is the New Friday and then just submit their receipt at ThursdayIsTheNewFriday.com, then they get to be in the mastermind group.
And I also suspect that this would be for people, even if they're locked into a 5-day work week or 6, or they have a job that's consuming all their time. This is not necessarily as much of the time you spend, but more of the mindset of being able to find those margins to be able to refresh your mind, refresh your body.
Yeah, and we actually dive into that in the book of how you talk to your boss about that. There's actually an article that Harvard Business Review just published that I wrote of how to ask your boss for the 4-day work week. So that's a great resource that maybe we can link to in the show notes that walks through exactly how do you walk through that? How do you do some testing? How do you understand your own key performance indicators to make that argument? How do you then report back to your boss? Okay, we're up in this area, down in this area. How do you do it with a team to make sure there's boundaries within that team? And then how do you do a 360 review at the end to look and evaluate whether the experiment was effective over the 2 or 3 months that you would do it.
Okay. Yeah. So it has some practical things in there as well. That's good.
Absolutely. Yeah. The middle section of the book, we dive into why slowing down actually helps us speed up. And then the last section of the book goes through tons of neuroscience. I would view it more as a menu to say, here's some ways that you can think through how to work better. See if it works for you. If it works, cool, keep it. If not, then move on to something else. And so having that menu-based way of thinking about a book instead of it's just a prescription that you either opt in or you opt out. That really is the new way that people are writing books because it's post-industrialist. It's not one size fits all. It's you are a smart person that can do experiments to level up over time, to continue to implement these strategies, but then you're not just reliant on the book to give them to you. You're learning how to think in a new way.
Mm-hmm. And I know it's timely. I've heard rumblings in the media about the people who are talking about the 4-day work week. And so this is coming in at a good time. And I think, because of the remote work and some of the things that happened in the last couple of years, that people are going to be open to this. So your boss might be more.
The Iceland study that came out, 2,500 people in Iceland over a multi-year study in multiple disciplines and occupations, they saw an increase in productivity, increase in happiness, increase in health outcomes. We see that Kickstarter in 2022 is going to test out the 4-day work week. Microsoft Japan has tested it out. This isn't something that it's just small businesses doing anymore. Nissan Infinity Canada bought my book for every single member of their Canadian team. And so there's all these different kind of things that are happening and case studies of places that have been effective with it. Kalamazoo Valley Community College is one that I did a spotlight and case study on in the book. And they switched to the 4-day work week in the summertime and they've saved millions of dollars just in air conditioning costs.
There's a lot of benefits. Yeah.
So many benefits. Staff are happier. They're staying longer. Who wants to give up a 4-day work week in the summertime when Michigan's beautiful in the summertime? You're not going to lose staff as much. There's just so many benefits in the research and case studies that we look at that make the case for the 4-day work week within our generation really compelling.
Well, thank you, Joe. I appreciate being able to spend time and talk about your book. And for those of us who are runners, the mindset of slowing down to go faster is something that a lot of runners have experience with as well. So it does work in your mindset as well as your body. So thanks a lot. Appreciate it. And I will get links to your book in the show notes when this is published.
Well, thank you so much, Eric, for helping make Thursday the new Friday.
On the trail or road when you're out running. We have a comment site. It's called ultramindsetpodcast.run. It's at the top of the page, and there's a place for comments, questions, and stories. There's a link there that will let you record your running story. So I would like to take the best stories and play at the end after I get done with this talking that I can say, don't touch that dial. We've got an exciting story coming up. That's something I'd like to get started. So if you're hearing this, if you listened clear to the end and you didn't touch that dial, leave your story. I would love to hear it and love to put it on and feature your story. Looking for some fun at the end of these podcasts. If you did enjoy this episode and you know somebody who would like to, you might like it as well, take a minute, send them a link. That's the best compliment you can give. An ultramarathon mindset is about more than just running, kind of what Joe talked about in this episode. If you're feeling stuck and stuck in life and you'd like to see how coaching could help, send me a DM. I'm a mindset coach, a life coach. Send me a DM on Instagram. It's at Eric Dieter, ericdeeter. Or you can use the link for the comments, questions, and stories. ultramindsetpodcast.run. Leave a voice message or text there. Until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you then. Running, kind of what Joe talked about in this episode. If you're feeling stuck and stuck in life, and you'd like to see how coaching could help, send me a DM. I'm a mindset coach, a life coach. Send me a DM on Instagram. It's at Eric Dieter, E-R-I-C-D-E-E-T-E-R. Or you can use the link for the comments, questions, and stories. AlterMindsetPodcast.run. Leave a voice message or text there. Until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you then.